sleep, Kevin Barker. One more sleep, and opening day is here. The Blue Jays and the New York Yankees. First pitch tomorrow. Weather looks like it's going to hold, at least according to the Doppler forecast that I saw. Whatever Doppler is. Looks as if they'll be able to get the game in.
Rain tonight, rain in the morning.
Stop raining during the day.
Yep.
We should get further details today from Charlie Montoyo on how the Blue Jays rotation
top
is going
secret.
To
shape.
It's top secret, man.
Yeah. That sounds like they were having a tough time making their mind up. Do we use an opener? How many openers do we use?
You really think they might go with two openers? Right? Were you serious? Oh, if you do that, what message does that send to the team?
Who cares? It's about winning. Are you excited about Ross Stripling against the New York Yankees in Yankee Stadium? Come on, Jeff.
Well, now that you mention it.
Like, Steven Matz? Look, I know it's
at some point,
you know, it's probably not showing, giving his hand away, and you know, he's locating a little bit better. The sinker's better. The slider's better. But
can I say this? At some point, Ross Stripling and Steven Matz are going to have to face a good team. This is the whole thing I don't get with being coy about this. At some point, they're going to have to face a good team. Now,
sure.
If they're not as far along, again, we don't know because we're not there. If they're not as far along as you'd like them to be, whatever, then that goes into it. But
also, too, you know, the opener works when the lineups are top heavy.
Yeah.
When you have a Yankees lineup that is length to it and can hit home runs from 1 through 9, opener doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Anyhow, Charlie Montoyo is going to address the media today, so hopefully we will have some sort of indication from him
that matter know already.
I'm sure they do. I mean, we had Steven Matz on a couple of days. Steven Matz knows when he's pitching. He's just not saying.
Of course.
And you know what? Neither would I. I wouldn't say either if I was him.
I'd be excited. I'd tell everybody. I would.
So here's what we're going to do today. It is walk-off Wednesdays, and we're going to do this during the baseball season. We will have Bichette. We will have Dante Bichette on later in the show. But on Wednesdays during the season, we're going to take your calls. And if the calls that we like the most, or the call or the take we like the most, we're going to tape it. We're going to run it at the end of the show, and you'll basically walk us off. So you'll be the last thing the listeners hear on the show.
I love it.
So it's got to be good. The numbers are 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. I've thrown out some suggestions you can talk about. Well, we're going to give our picks in a few minutes here. You can talk about the over-under for Blue Jays. Vegas seems to have settled on something like 86.5 to 88 wins. I got the under big time at 86.
Not me. 90 Barker's and 72.
Barker's got them at 90 and 72.
I may have overshot the runway there, but...
No, there's not. I'm glad you
are. I'm a half full guy.
You know, look, we did our picks on sportsnet.ca, and Shy and Ben, both of the Blue Jays going to the playoffs as a wild card team, and Arden and myself don't. So, I mean, there's a balance there. And I'm not saying it's out of the question the Jays go to the playoffs. I just think a lot has to break their way. Most specifically, Garrett Cole's arm, to be honest. I think a lot has to break their way for them to have a shot. To have a shot at the playoffs this year.
You're going
to
face him 5 or 6 times this year. Don't worry about beating him. Worry about beating other people. Hey, Marquise Grissom used to always tell me this. You're not going to make a living off the 1 and 2 guys in a rotation. You make your living off the 3, 4, 5s. If the lineup's as good as they say they are, go out and show us.
Yeah. So let's, should we get to our picks right away? Let's get to our picks right
away. Yeah, why not? I think you've already told yours. No.
Well, I've thrown
age
mine out.
Age before beauty. Go ahead.
Throwing mine out on the interwebs. Again, the numbers are 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Keep in mind, I predicted Rays and Dodgers last year, whatever that means.
Yeah, way to go out on a limb.
Way to go out on a limb. You didn't.
I'll never pick the Rays.
Very few people have.
I almost made my son walk when he said "Go Rays, go" in my car.
Very few people have the stones to pick the Rays.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to be comfortable in all sorts.
You picked it ever since I've known you.
It's not true.
Sooner or later, you're
getting
it right.
This year,
I'm picking them again.
I got the Rays winning the American League East.
Of course you do.
I got the White Sox winning the Central. The Angels winning the West.
Oh, boo.
I must have been smoking something when I did this pick. The Yankees and the Twins are the wild card team. In the National League, oh, I really go out on a limb in the National League.
Yeah.
Got the Braves winning the East. I got the Cards winning the Central. I got the Doyers winning the West. I got the Padres and the Phillies as a wild card team. And again, I don't know why I picked the Phillies.
Yeah.
Just because I know no one else is going to do it. My World Series pick is Braves over the White Sox. Here's what's going to happen. The LA Dodgers are going to smash the major league record for wins this year, and they're going to lose
their
in the playoffs.
Their season starts in October. Who cares?
And they're going to lose in the playoffs. My individual award winners, this was really, I apologize for the fact that these award winners are so boring, but in the American League, I have Randy Arozarena as Rookie of the Year, Garrett Cole as a Cy Young Award winner, and Mike Trout as MVP. Folks, I wish I could have done better. I was going to try to be original, but... In the National League, I've got Ian Anderson of the Braves as my Rookie of the Year, Jacob deGrom of the Mets as my Cy Young winner, and Mookie Betts. Again, I apologize. That was about as original as I could come up with. So, Barker, let's rattle through yours quickly.
Okay, I got the AL East, the Yankees. I got the AL Central, the White Sox. I got the AL West, the A's. I got the AL Wild Card. Yeah, I think, you know, the little engine that could play defense, pitch good, get a timely hit. That's called baseball, Jeff. AL Wild Card, Blue Jays at Twins. You know, if I got 90 and 72, I got them Jays making that playoff.
And then they're going to beat the Twins, of course, because the Twins stink in the postseason.
That's when the defense and the pitching shows up. So the NL East, I got the Braves. The NL Central, I got the Cardinals. NL West, I got the Dodgers.
Yeah.
NL Wild Card,
yeah.
I got the Nationals at the Padres.
Okay, I like the Nationals call. I thought about going with the Nationals over the Phillies, but then I knew you were doing it, so I thought I'm not going to bother doing it.
Okay. Then I got the Padres versus the Yankees in the World Series, and I got the Yankees winning in six games. My NL MVP, because I picked the Nationals, Juan Soto, best left-handed hitter in baseball.
Yep. Best hitter in baseball overall?
Yeah, you could argue that.
Mm-hmm.
AL MVP, he's the best player on the planet. Until he shows us otherwise, I'll keep picking him.
Yep.
AL Cy Young, I got Garrett Cole. The NL Cy Young, I got Jacob deGrom. Those other ones that you picked,
mm-hmm.
Randy Arozarena, look, you could throw 15 names against the wall
and
never get that right.
Exactly.
But I'm going to let you do it,
right,
and we'll take your picks on whoever that was. So, yeah, for the most part, those are pretty good.
416, thank you for that. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Yes. Let's go with Sam from Hamilton. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Go ahead.
Okay. I think the Blue Jays are going to win 90 games this year. I think they're going to finish second. I do think the Yankees are going to stay healthy, so that means I think they're going to win over 100 games. But I do think it's all going to come down to the lineup. I think if Vladdy lives up to the hype and Springer gets healthy, I think Springer can make Vladdy a better hitter. But I do think the Jays are going to make the playoffs in 91.
There you go. All right. Well.
Yeah. You did the number.
They got it. It was a great call. They've got to win 90 games to go to the playoffs.
They do. You got to figure who they're competing with. They'll be competing with, on my book, the Astros, the Angels, the Twins. I think that's a given. Because of the division they play in, you know, you got 57 games to get some bottom feeders. They're going to win a bunch of games. So you got to figure they're a shoe-in. So there's one wild card team. Are they better than the Rays? That's my pick. Now, obviously, your pick's different because you got them. Are they better than the Yankees? That would be what you would say.
Yeah.
And you would say no to that. So that's why you don't have the Blue Jays making the playoffs.
I have said this, and I will repeat this. I am not as all in the Yankees as a lot of people are. Judge is going to get hurt. Stanton is going to get hurt. Gary Sanchez is going to get benched. Brett Gardner is old. Their bullpen is not very good. Let me rephrase that. Aroldis Chapman is Aroldis Chapman. No Zach Britton, no Justin Wilson. They're starting pitching. They need Corey Kluber or Jameson Taillon to be really, really good to have a chance. That's not all going to happen.
They play the same bad teams the Blue Jays do. Well, what's their record going to be against those bad teams? That determines it. The Yankees always beat up on super bad teams. That's where they make up the difference. And then the other teams, they battle. And they got a number one in Garrett Cole. If they don't lose Garrett Cole, you know, and they don't lose one of the big bats in the middle of the order, For me, they're the best team in the American League. Yeah, the only thing I disagree with Sam and his call is a great call. The only thing I disagree is that George Springer will make Vladdy a better hitter. I think that has nothing to do with it. You pitch to the guy differently. The way I pitch George Springer is going to be totally different than the way I pitch Vladdy. Vladdy is hard in, soft away until he can show you that he can lay off a ball that's not a strike in off the plate. That's the one thing. When you struggle, how do you get out of it? Maybe he could have that conversation. Maybe that's one of them. George could tell him, look, I go up and set breaking ball early in count. That puts me back mechanically with my lower half. I can do a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't hunt the heater. It will be this way until baseball is over. People that don't hit the heater. Everybody can go up. This lineup last year, every time somebody would stick a microphone in their face, they would say the same thing. I go up and sit off speed pitch. Well, that's why you're not a very good hitting team. Until they actually go up and buy into a hole of saying everybody throws hard and most of it's straight. You know, some guys have some movement. That's the ones you don't want to swing at. Let's swing at the straight one. Feed off the heater, adjust everything else, and I think they'll be all right. Look, the 90 wins. That's a lot of things. You know, they got to have some miracles in the rotation, and some guys in the bullpen got to step up, and Vladdy's got to be the minor league Vladdy. And then the people that you picked up, George Springer's got to stay healthy. And I said this to you yesterday. Five of the guys out of this lineup got to play 140-plus games. Talent, they have it. If they play 140 games, they're going to put up numbers. They'll be close to the 90 wins.
All right.
You ain't buying it? That's lovely about this. That's lovely about sports. Everybody's got their opinions.
I can't overlook the fact that Ross Stripling and Tanner Roark are going to be in the starting rotation.
It is hard to overlook.
I can't.
And it can't last long. But I will say the hybrid guys that they have that can fill those spots, can pitch the first couple innings, pitch the fifth, sixth, or seventh inning. They have quality arms that you know, can come in and blow it out. Can throw the fastball, the slider, eliminate it down to two pitches, not use four pitches, throw more strikes.
Is that going to work over 162 games?
The Rays
games?
Do it. Why do you continuously pick the Rays? Because of their pitching.
No. I said, is that going to work over 162 innings? The Rays don't do it.
You mean 162 games?
Or over 162 games. The Rays will have one opener situation set up.
You need about 1,450 innings.
Yeah, you need 900 more innings this year, basically.
You got to have some miracles.
Well, you,
other than Ryu, and I don't want to say surprises. I'm talking miracles. I'm talking guys. Robbie Ray, the strong 20-gaining-pound, muscular, I'm going to fight my way through five innings every day and give you a chance to win. He's got to do that most of the time. Steven, Matt's got to figure something out.
Tony in Hamilton, what's up, Tony?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, hello, Jeff and Bark. How are you guys?
Good, good.
We're doing well. It's early,
Jeff,
though. It's early.
Happy birthday to you and your daughter.
Yes. Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was a happy birthday yesterday. It really was.
Oh, that's great. And that's great what Kevin did for you, having his little one sing happy birthday to you. That was awesome.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that I managed to convince Chase not to listen to his father and that he should become a Rays fan. I think that's a smart move. You're never going to be upset if you're a Rays fan.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Thanks for that,
I got
Tony.
A specific question about Charlie Lau. He was the renowned hitting instructor, and yep. I believe the time Buck Martinez was with the KC Royals, and I know he had a big effect on George Brett. I'm just wondering who I'm thinking Springer. Could he be that situational hitter that George Brett was under the guidance of Charlie Lau? Because George Brett was incredible in his day.
Yeah, George, thanks for the call, Tony. I wish I could remember who wrote the article that I'm going to reference, but it was like 3 or 4 years ago. But the idea was, do we need to, because of the way the game is played now, because of the shift, do we have to rethink what makes a situational hitter? And we talked about Tom Verducci. It might have been Tom Verducci or something like that. Look, I think the biggest thing George Springer is going to bring to this lineup is the aggression out of that leadoff spot. And however you want to set up the top of this order, I like the fact that if Springer's healthy, it's going to be really hard to navigate the top of this order.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, none of these guys need to have career years for it to be difficult. You know what I mean? Like, if you just get what you're going to get normally from George Springer, if you get what you normally get from Marcus Semien, if you get what we think you can normally get from Bo or Vladdy, that's the thing, is this lineup can be really, really good, and you're not depending on a career year from a guy.
Yeah, well, when do most starting pitchers have the biggest issue? First inning.
First inning.
You want that guy to punch first. 1-0 makes it easier for the Matses and the Rays and the Striplings to go out and throw strikes, command the zone, not nitpick, not just, you know, pick and hopefully somebody chases you and get some cheap outs that way. When it comes to direction hitting, I think velocity's killed direction. I continue to say that. Well, that's Dante when he comes on. Mm-hmm. He'll know more than that. We know he's closer to the field. But it's
hard to...
The shift's over there, yeah, for a reason. Probably that pitcher's going to throw to the shift. Can I take 98 inside out that and hit it where they ain't? Well, you would think if hitters could do that, they don't like getting out. If hitters could do that, they'd have done it already. It's not like they're going to go up and go, ha, look at everybody over there. I want to hit it over there. Well, if they could, they probably would have already.
See, I kind of like, when I think of situational hitting, I think a little bit about what Justin Morneau was talking about yesterday and how up to 0-2, it's your at-bat. You know, when you get to two strikes, yeah, it becomes the team at-bat, right? Because now you're essentially looking, do I pass it on? Pass the baton, etc. That to me suggests situational awareness.
What I'm seeing is more line drive hitting, not so much directional hitting. Yeah. Let me hit this ball and try and hit the middle of the baseball instead of trying to hit the bottom part of it.
Yeah.
Or fast guys used to try and hit the top part of it. They want to beat it in the ground.
Beat it in the ground.
Yep. Not so much that. I want to hit the middle part of the baseball and I want to hit a line drive somewhere. The more times I do that, the better chance I have of getting hits. That's the change for me that you're seeing, at least in spring training. The games I've watched, every team, you know, guys want to try and hit home runs, that they want to try and get the ball in the air because of the shift, and it's hard to get, you know, it's hard to get hits, and where they ain't. They're not beyond the outfield. Start trying to hit more line drives. Start trying to hit the ball harder. That will let the ball travel a little bit more. That will allow you to use your hands a little bit better. You'll be on time more. You'll use your lower half. It's just, you know, I bring it back to Danny Jansen. The first time, the very first time he talked on Zoom, he said the very first thing he said is, I want to hit the ball in the air more. Why? You're not going to hit 30 homers. You're going to hit 200 with 10 or 12 home runs, and sooner than later, you're going to stop playing. That to me is what that screams. Change your mindset. Let's hit the ball hard on a line instead of trying to always hit the ball in the air. And I think that's what you're seeing throughout baseball now.
Sylvester and Kaladin, you're on Baseball Central. What's up, man?
How are you guys doing, man?
We're doing thanks. Well.
Thank you very much for having me. I think the Jays are going to win 90 games, and they're going to do a lot better than the Rays.
Going to do a lot better. Tell me why.
Because of the four guys, the four guys that now we brought Springer in, the four musketeers or the four whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. You know what I mean. But the guys are good and they have the experience now and they're gonna move on. Vladdy's gonna start hitting the way he's supposed to, and the pitching is gonna come, and by the time they get going, they're gonna bring another pitch in.
Well, that
the Rays don't have it anymore.
Well, you know what, you're Sylvester. Thanks for the call. Your point is well made about the pitcher, because that has to be kind of the caveat here. And I'm not going to walk back my pick.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Blue Jays, and this, I mean, we're going to be talking about this for most of the year, but if they can add. Here's the thing. If they can add a pitcher, I mean, people are saying all the Blue Jays need to do is add a pitcher. All they do is need to add a pitcher. The thing is, they need to add a good pitcher. Like, they don't need to add a reclamation project.
A number two.
They don't need to add another Tanner Roark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they need to add somebody who can come in and either be as good as Hyunjin Ryu. a guy like Luis Castillo. And I understand that's Luis Castillo's pie in the sky. First of all, the Reds are going to be around for a while. So I don't think the Reds are necessarily going to back up the truck the first month of the season and start moving guys out. But I'm talking about a guy like that. Somebody that can come in and be my clear-cut number two.
Yeah.
And maybe good enough to be my number one next year. And if that means I've got to move out a guy like Jordan Groshans or whatever, given what I've seen from this organization, I'm more than willing to do that.
Yeah, and don't forget Nate Pearson too. Don't overlook him. He comes back, he's got to take a step forward.
Yeah, I've said all year, and I'll continue to say, whatever Nate Pearson gives me it's gravy, because I'm not counting on him. I'm just not. And I trust that he's got the stuff. I trust that he's going to be a real good pitcher. I just don't think you can count on him this year. I think you have to look at taking whatever Nate Pearson gives you this year as a bonus. And I hope I'm wrong, because I still think Nate Pearson ultimately is going to determine how far along this team is. If he comes back and he's figured it out, and he can kind of do what Aaron Sanchez did for this team in 15 or 16, then look out, because then now you're talking. But on the safe side, I would prefer just taking that whatever he gives me as being a bonus.
Yeah. You know. The routine play, too, has got to be boring. But fans can keep track of plays not made that should be made.
And I think that we have not talked about that enough in spring training, because a lot of us haven't been around the team enough. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a little suspect about this team's infield defense. I'll just leave it at that. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. And I will admit, I am more than willing to be proven wrong when it comes to that. I am more than willing to be proven wrong when it comes to that. Dante Bichette joins us next. This is Baseball Central. Okay, here's a fun list. If you're a fan of lists, which I am, the best-selling jerseys in Major League Baseball. Mr. Barker. Number one, Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Number two, Cody Bellinger. Number three, Fernando Tatis Jr. Number four, Bryce Harper. Number five, Clayton Kershaw. Number six, Aaron Judge. Number seven, Ronald Acuna Jr. Who are we missing here? Number eight, Francisco Lindor.
Best player on the planet.
Number nine, Kike Hernandez.
That's something else.
Well, a lot of that based on his time in L.A., right? A lot of that based on his time in L.A. Number 10, Mike Trout. All these numbers are just, again, these are a reflection of preseason jersey sales.
Yeah, a lot of that
There are no Blue Jays in the top 20. And you know, don't roll your eyes, because there was a year when the Blue Jays brought their new jerseys back. There was a year where Brett Laurie was among the top selling
jerseys. Was I on that list for Blue Jays?
Oddly enough, Mr. Barker.
No, I didn't make the cut.
You were not on the list. If anybody's interested, the other popular jersey sales: Nolan Arenado, Javier Baez, Corey Seager, Garrett Cole, Yadier Molina, Christian Yelich, Freddie Freeman, Jacob DeGrom, Jose Altuve, and Pete Alonso. So there you go. Big market teams dominating. I just found it interesting that Trout was 10th.
Well, the best pitcher on the planet and the best player on the planet aren't in the top 10.
Yeah. Let's bring in Dante Bichette, Blue Jays special consultant. Mr. Bichette, how are you today?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. We trust you are that you're keeping safe and everything's good. I just want to talk to you a little bit about your role with the Jays this year, because we saw you last year. You were with the team, and you're a consultant this year. Are you going to be around the team as much, or how has your role changed?
You know, it hasn't changed. What happened last year is with COVID, I had to make a decision to kind of go all in or all out, and I chose all in. This year, I can I'm going to back off a little bit and just be with the team when they need me, do some stuff in the minor league, the alt site, and some of the minor league teams if I can. Just not sure what COVID procedures are yet.
Dante, last year when you observed the Blue Jays hitters, in your mind, what was the common issue that you wanted to help change?
You know, from a distance, when I was watching the team the year before, knowing that Bo was going to be there soon, I noticed it was real obvious to me the strikeouts were killing them. The two strike approaches weren't even there, and they had a lot of hitters that were real similar hitters to me and Ayo, Grichik, Rowdy, even though he's left handed, big strong guys like to swing the bat. So that's where I felt like I could help most.
Yeah, is that a hard sell for you? You know, when I was a player, I don't know if a coach came to me and said, okay, you're struggling with two strikes, try this. I think it was more trial and error. I would go, okay, I'm hitting the buck 60 with two strikes. Should I try and choke up? Should I try and widen out? Should I do the little knee turn like Bo does? Is that a tough sell for a coach?
Yeah, I think it's tough, but I think I came in at the perfect time because you had Bo doing it. And he was being real successful with two strikes, and everybody wanted to know, you know, what he was doing and how, and why, and they saw it working. So it was an easier sell for me because of that. I think if it wasn't for Bo, I couldn't have went in there and did that.
It's interesting too, because when we watch Kevin Biggio this spring, Kevin went out of his way to talk about the impact that Bo and Teoscar have had on his approach, and how, you know, a couple of things. One, he wants to. He's just trying to find that balance, right, Dante, between being patient and being over-patient, if you want to call it that, or under-aggressive. But he's also said, I realize now that when I get to two strikes, I have to make some changes in my mechanics. And he talked about how watching Bo change his approach and how Teoscar simplified it is having a major impact on how he was going to go about doing it.
Yeah, you know, we get so locked into the analytics that we forgot about the process of, and you know, I'm an older player, so the talk more in the clubhouse and in the batting cage in my day was more about making adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Where the talk now is more about discipline and launch angle and stuff like that. So we just kind of, you're trying to combine it, you know, and get players to think more about making adjustments. At this point, you know, and I think that's what BGOSD and Bo do, make adjustments. That's what Teo saw Bo do, it's caught on fire. Guys are making adjustments, so that's a good thing.
Okay, does high velocity in baseball make your job easier or harder?
Does high velocity?
Yeah, just because, you know, when I was a player, and when you were a player, you didn't consistently see 95, 96, 97 all the time. And the hitters' approaches are a little bit different now. Does that make your job easier or harder now?
Yeah, it's made my job easier, but I think it's the way, again, we're going about it the wrong way. We're trying to get launch angles on a ball that's jumping over the top of our bat. If you watch swing and misses on fastballs, it's not a lot. It's 99.9% guys will swing under the ball. And that's because they're trying to get the ball in the air nowadays. So I know right where to go to help us get out with that. But it's difficult because they're being told to lift the ball. So in a way, it's easy. It's an easy fix. But in another way, you're right. It can be difficult to get them to go there.
Okay, you talk about, you know, a lot of people talk about, and I want to ask a guy that's so close to the game now, is the shift. The shift, okay, say, because I was a left-handed hitter, the shift. Say I came up and everybody was on the right side of the field. Well, the first thing a fan says is, well, how come they don't hit it where they're not standing? And my answer all the time is, well, two reasons. Pitchers are really good, and they probably can't because they got to the big leagues one way, and to ask them to change and do it another way is almost virtually impossible. Am I on to something, or should they be hitting it where they ain't?
Well, they can't right now because they don't practice it. They don't practice beating that shift because the easiest pitch, Ted Williams once told me this, he said the easiest pitch to hit the other way is the inside pitch.
But you got to understand how to do that. You got to be able to delay the barrel. You got to pull the hands in and things like that. Again, that's not where the money's being made. The money's being made over the fence. The exit velocities are being made with the pool size and the launch angle. So everybody's trying to get there. But the thing is, just because you got a driver in your bag doesn't mean you use it every time. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to learn how to play the short game a little bit to be real successful. Don't go for the driver every time. And I think hitting similarly.
What's your read about where Bo is now, coming through spring training, getting ready for the season? This was a more normal spring training, certainly, than last year when we had the pandemic and the interruption. What's your sense of where Bo is right now?
I think he's in a good place. This was a completely different spring for him because he made it a purpose to not turn on the switch early in spring like he's had to do when he's trying to make the team. Because the grind of a season is not so much physical, it's more mental. When you turn on that switch early, all of a sudden you expect success, and then the stress starts kicking in, and then all of a sudden the cortisol raises up, testosterone lows, energy, strength, focus. I mean, you don't want to turn that switch on too early. So it was good for him to turn it on late. I think he's in a good place. Defensively, he worked his butt off this offseason, so I think you'll see some strides there, and should be in a good place.
Okay, we have a bunch of young people listening to the show who are just getting into baseball, just learning how to hit. If you got a kid that, blank slate, just learning how to hit, what would be some of the first things you would teach them about hitting?
You know, the first thing I would tell a dad, say a young kid, who's never had a lesson before, I would say videotape your kid's swing because that's his swing. That's his natural swing he was born with. And tell him to swing that bat fast, as hard as he can, and then learn how to hit like that. Because bat speed and swing path are all that matters in the mechanics. The rest is neck up. And if you can learn to swing that bat very aggressively and then get it on path with the ball, mechanics are a little bit after that are a little bit overrated. So that's where I'd probably go first.
Dante, thanks for doing this, man. Great to talk with you. Terrific insight.
That's great stuff.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for coming on.
Bye. Anytime, guys.
Stay safe. That's Dante Bichette, Blue Jays special consultant hitting. The background to that answer, of course, is when Bo was drafted, a lot of people worried about his swing. And one of the things Bo was really strong about is, as Paul Quantrill used to tell us about his son, Cal, sometimes you got to figure out a way to very politely tell people to go, bleep themselves.
Yeah, I didn't. And he calls me big league Tom.
Well, we talked about this. And, mm-hmm. and one of the reasons that the Bichette family was really happy when the Jays drafted Bo is they knew that the Jays said, hey, we're not going to overhaul this kid's swing.
Yeah.
And, it's made a difference. And we talked about this with Kevin Biggio. Like, God love Kevin Biggio. I'll give him credit for a lot of things, but I would really like him at some point this year, just say, guys, let me be the third baseman.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see Kevin Biggio in left field this year. I don't want to see him in right field. I don't want to see him at first base. I don't want to see him at second. Now, obviously, if Marcus Semien gets hurt or, sure, God forbid, Bo get, that's different. But just let the kid play third base, man. And let him play third base for 2 months in a row.
You know as well as I do, he's not that kind of kid. He's not wired that way. He'll do anything for the team. It's team first with him.
But, even his dad, people need to remember, like, Craig was a catcher who transitioned to second base.
Sure.
But it was I believe it was in his fifth major league season where the Astros just said, okay, you're our second baseman. And I've often wondered what Craig's experience, how that is filtering down to Kevin. And I'm not trying to create an issue where an issue doesn't exist right now. But I am saying that I really do think there comes a time where, as a player, you have earned the right. Now, whether or not you exercise it,
sure,
that's up to you. But I think Kevin Biggio has earned the right to say to the Blue Jays, let me stay third. Like, just let me be third baseman. I think he has that right. And again, maybe he's already said it. maybe he doesn't have to. But
is it fair to the team? But that's the only question I have. Is putting a guy in left field who's not comfortable playing left field, is that fair to the team? And if you have to think about it,
then
probably not fair to the team. And this is a team game, at least leading off the season here, where everybody's trying to get headed in the right direction, and they have aspirations of making playoff teams. Put people in the right position to succeed.
The thing you want from a manager is putting the guys in the best possible position for them to have the most success.
That's it.
That's what you want.
All I want
I can't
is,
swing the bat for you. I can't catch the ball for you. I can't throw it. But what I can do, Kevin Barker, is put you in a position where you're going to be able to be the best you can be.
You don't want that guy to take away from his strength. His strength for me, Kevin Biggio, is offensively. Working counts, getting on base. You don't want his defensive side of it to carry over and take away from that part of it. Hitters don't want to be embarrassed. Ask Vladdy. Vladdy's standing up in front of the room and saying, I apologize for gaining weight and not doing my part. People get embarrassed. They don't want to be embarrassed. Putting somebody in a position they don't or should not be, for whatever reason that is, takes away from their part of their game that's really good, and you don't want that. I've been in that before. You know, later in my career, first move defensively wasn't great. I was starting to dread playing first, and I was happy when I went to Mexico and they could DH me every day, and I didn't have to play first anymore. It's better for the team, I think, to just leave people where they feel comfortable.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. It's Walk-Off Wednesdays. Back to your calls. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. It is Walk-Off Wednesday. A reminder, Baseball Central will be your Blue Jays pregame show tomorrow, an hour before. What are you waving your hands for?
No, I just made me think of something when you said Walk-Off Wednesday. 16 years, I played everywhere in the world, never walked a game off.
See, I don't believe that. That's the second time you said, well, you would know, although you didn't know who you hit your first home run off of.
Yeah, but I'd never walked you remember that.
Yeah, I imagine you would. Never? Like Mexico?
Winter ball, nowhere? Never. Nope.
I find that really hard to believe.
16 years, played everywhere, everywhere.
Did you come close? Well, that's not fair. Did you come close?
That's a terrible question.
That's a stupid, dumbass question. Let's pretend I didn't ask that. Frank and Stony Creek.
Hey, Frank.
Frank, rescue my ass here. I asked a dumbass question. Go ahead.
How's it going, Jeff Barker? How's it going?
Good.
Welcome
Thanks.
To another season.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, bud.
You know, it was tough to pick the over-under this season because they did a great job this winter. They're better on paper. The rotation's got some what-ifs. But more importantly, we've yet to see this core in a full season. Yeah. And, you know, 2020 affected all teams differently. And the way it affected the Jays is, you know, that was the year for the team to get their feet wet. And I thought going to the 2021, go after the division. So in a way, 2020 becomes 2021. So the way they're constructed right now, I have them at 82, 83 wins. But because I think they'll be in the thick of things in July and they have the resources to increase and get better, I have them at 87 wins, good for second in the division and second wild card.
Yeah, see, I mean, we're so – thanks for the call, Frank.
Yeah,
we
are
so
conference.
We're so on the same – we're so on the same page. But, I feel more comfortable. I'm kind of picking – I'm picking what I see right now. I am with you. I think they are going to make – I think they have to make a pitching addition, and I realize that. But I also, I'm not going to make my picks based on the fact that I think they're going to possibly make an addition. But you're right. That's I kind of have them around 82, 83 wins. Maybe I just can't go over. I can't go over 88.
Okay. Do you think? Let me ask you a question. Do you think fans and will you if the core of this team plays a lot?
Yes.
And takes a next step.
Yes.
Like Vladdy takes that just, he gets a good pitch to hit, he's hammering that thing and consistently doing it all the time. And he's made serious adjustments against lefties. And if Bo takes that next step up defensively, we know offensively he can do that, but defensively he takes the next step up. Are you happy with that season? Does it really matter about wins?
See, we had the, as part of the thing we did is Sportsnet.ca. We've done our MLB preview, our MLB roundtable. We'll have our Blue Jays roundtable. I said that The question was, what is a successful year to you? A successful Blue Jays year. I said 520 to 530 winning percentage, and Vladdy and Nate Pearson finishing the year healthy and contributing. Right? If I get this is me. If I get that, then I'm okay. You have to keep in mind, though, that we don't know if we're going to have baseball in 2023.
Sure.
I'm not going to talk about it now, but
I'm getting selfish. I want that and them in the hunt in September.
But
that's what I want.
But you see, they will if they do that, 530, they will be in the hunt.
That's what I want.
They will be in the hunt.
If they just miss the playoffs and they do those things, they're in it in September, and the guys, the core, you know, they have four or five guys that play a lot and take the next step.
If I had a better idea about how good or bad the Boston Red Sox are, then I might feel that's what I need to get a read on. Like, a look at the Central. The Central has got a really good team in the White Sox. It's got a proven team in Minnesota. It's got a team in the up in Kansas City. It's got Detroit that's just awful. And it's got Cleveland that's someplace in between.
Yep.
If I knew that Boston was going to be not good, then I might have a more comfortable feeling about the Blue Jays. But I think Boston's going to be better than a lot of people think they are.
Offensively, they will.
And I think that's going to create a bit of an issue for a team like the Blue Jays. I don't think there's as much separation between the Blue Jays and the Red Sox as we think there is.
So you think the 19 games against the Red Sox matter maybe a little bit more than the 19 against the Orioles?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, I as I look at the schedule, I think it's going to come down to between the Yankees, the Rays, and the Jays, who does best against the Red Sox? I think that's what it'll come down to.
Huh.
Sorry, it was at Derek. Who was the caller? Sean from Ajax. Go ahead.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. Really enjoy listening to you guys.
Thank you.
I agree with you with the fact that you need to look at the start.
We've got, you know what, Sean, we're going to have to call you back. I could not make head nor tails of what he said. Like, do we have everybody in the country that has bad cell phone call? But to get back to our original point, we'll get Sean back. To get back to our original point, I think that's going to be the key. I think the Red Sox are the team that could kind of surprise people. I look at the projections for the Red Sox. A lot of the projections. Okay, sorry. And we have. Go ahead, Sean. Sorry about that, man. Go ahead.
No worries. My cell phone does that a couple
much
times.
Better. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm glad you guys can hear me this time.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I agree with you in the sense that the Jays need to be able to add to their rotation before being a real competitor. As to how many wins they're going to get, I have no idea. I agree with you in the sense that Boston is going to be interesting, especially offensively, because I think Xander Bogaerts, as well as this Dalbec guy, I think his name is, the rookie at first base, will be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, thanks for the call. They are the unknown. As I said, some of the projections like the Red Sox almost as much as they like the Jays, some of the analytical projections. No. I just don't.
No matter how good your lineup is, it always comes down to your pitching.
Yeah.
It really always does.
Well, and that's what's going to happen this year. I want people to look at what the Yankees have for starting rotation right now. And I don't understand the rush to anoint the Yankees as the best team in the American League. Because I look at, they're relying on guys who are hurt. And they're relying on guys who very seldom put 162 games together. I see more
track record, more ballpark about, they play in, lineup. They have enough to hide, you know, miscues when it comes to health wise. They have a number one. Now they lose Garrett Cole for 2 months, then maybe you have some issues. But look, for me, they're still the best team in the American League. I don't see who else can withstand the relentless approaches that they have at the plate, and the two big guys. If they're playing a combined 200 games,
ooh, they got to play more than that, Kevin.
Look, can you ever say they will? Probably not. So if they play a combined 200 games, that's better than not playing 200 games.
It is interesting that one of the stories in New York, and we'll talk about this tomorrow ahead of the game, ahead of the Yankees Jays game. One of the stories in New York is a lot of people are saying, you know, it's time for Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is going to be the guy to take over from Derek Jeter, yada yada, et cetera, et cetera. It's time for Aaron Judge to do that. Like, if Aaron Judge wants to be the next captain of the Yankees, and that's a big deal in New York, it's time for it's time for him
forcing
to do that.
A guy health wise is
you can't force a guy to be healthy.
The giant human.
Sylvester and Callanan, you had the call of the day, you had the take of the day. You're gonna walk us off. We'll be back tomorrow. Writer's block is next.
I think the Jays are gonna win 90 games and they're gonna do a lot better than the Rays.
Gonna do a lot better. Tell me why.
Because of the four guys that now we brought Springer in, the four musketeers, or the four, whatever you want to call them, you know what I mean. But the guys are good, and they have the experience now, and they're going to move on. Glally's going to start hitting the way he's supposed to, and the pitching is going to come, and by the time they get going, they're going to bring another pitcher in.
Well, that
the ways don't happen anymore.
Well, you know what, you're Sylvester. Thanks for the call. Your point is well made about the pitcher, because that has to be kind of the caveat here.